ready to get into the Word? Woo! Are you ready to get into the Word?
Let's do it.
The Lord just really has us concentrated in this particular area, and basically because of the days and the times that we are facing. And please understand and remember this, that the days and the times that we are in are prophesied in the Word of God.
Yep.
Okay? Now, fear comes when we don't have the knowledge of God.
Right.
Because what you don't have knowledge of, you will fear, because that becomes the unknown. So if we are reading our Bibles, we are studying our Bibles, actually you're going through the notes that we put up on the webpage with our podcast and everything. All our notes are up there, and you're studying these and going over them. I'm telling you right now, faith is coming.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, faith is coming.
Yeah.
Faith is coming. And you're going to be able to teach people that are in fear and hopeless.
Yep.
Amen? So here's when Pharaoh is breathing down the neck of the children of Israel, then when they have been set free and delivered out of their bondage, out of Egypt, Pharaoh comes back. And we said several times before that is like the devil coming back to attack us after we've been born again, after we have been set free and delivered from all of our bondages, as we're growing in the Word of God. And remember that the attack came not because of what they were doing wrong, but because they were in the will of God.
Yeah.
A lot of times the attack does not come because of something that you have done. Because if you've done something in sin, you've done something out of the will of God, you know that. You know you've opened the door to the enemy. But when the attack comes and you know that, man, I've been doing what God's told me to do. I've been studying the Word, I've been doing all that kind of stuff. And the attack comes. You know the devil is so scared of you. Listen to me. He's scared at who you're going to influence and what you're going to accomplish for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Okay? So Moses stands up. Here comes Pharaoh. Now, you also got to remember this. When they came out, the people have not spent time with God like Moses has. Mm-mm. So there's going to be a progression in their growth, which we need to understand that once we get born again, there is a progression in our growth through studying and reading and listening to the Word of God. So Moses, in seeing Pharaoh coming, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." So here is four vital ingredients for your success spiritually and naturally, and your advancement in this world today in the midst of some very difficult times. And number one is
mature in love.
Mature in love.
Mature in love, yeah. So as we look at the children of Israel in this moment that they're in, they experience a lot of fear, right? And so one, we talk a lot in this church about how to deal with fear. And as I was studying this, originally we had this point as rebuke fear. And as I was reading over it, and as I was just really thinking about what God wanted to say today, God just dropped that in my heart of what we need to do to, one of the main things that we need to do to overcome fear in our lives is to mature in love. We see that. I'm going to read kind of a string of scriptures really quick. Let's start in 1 John 4:17-19. It says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world."
Yes.
"There is no fear in love."
Come
Everybody
on.
Say that. Say, "There is no fear in love."
There is no fear in love.
"But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." So this is really important, right? The Bible, so many times, we just read the Bible, right? And we're just kind of reading through it. And we don't pay attention to certain key things that it's telling us in certain moments. So I love this right here because he says very, very plainly, he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Mm. And so if we don't want to fear, what do we need to do? We need to be made perfect in love. And so how do we do that? 1 John chapter 2, let's roll just a page back for me in my Bible.
And also, Pastor Cameron, the word perfect, because I know a lot of people are thinking, okay, how can I be perfect? But actually, the word perfect means
mature.
To mature, to be mature and complete.
Yeah, come on. Yep. And so the way that we become mature and the way that we become complete in the word of in the love of God is laid out for us in 1 John 2:5-6. It says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him.
Wow.
By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he or Jesus walked. So it's very important there. It says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So if we want to be perfected in the love of God, what we need to do is obey the word of God.
Amen.
So as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, Michaela and I have people come over to the house all of the time. It's just something that we love to do. We love community. We love pouring into people. We love eating with people. I think that one of the greatest places of ministry is around the dinner table. I believe one of the greatest places of encounter with God and with one another is around the dinner table. And so Michaela and I have people come over, but there are certain things whenever people come to our house that we would like for them to respect. We would like for them to take their shoes off at the door. We don't want people just spilling things all over the place. There's a way that you act whenever you go into someone's house, right? Or whenever I want to get close to someone, we respect boundaries that we have between one another, right? Yes. And if you respect my boundaries, I'll let you get to know me. And if you respect my boundaries, you have no reason to fear me. It's this. So for instance, like if you're in my life and you speak respectfully to my wife and my son, I'll let you in close. If you speak disrespectfully to my wife or my son, you've got reason to fear me.
And me.
And my dad. You've got a reason to fear the Son and the Father. Ha! Anyways, that's a whole nother message right there. But. So, if you respect my boundaries, you obey the things that I ask you to do, we're going to be good. And I'm going to reveal myself to you. You are going to have a relationship with one another. But if you cross those boundaries, you've got a reason to fear. It's the same thing. If someone comes into my house because they ring the doorbell and I let them in, well, we're good to go. But if you break into my house at the middle of the night, you're going to meet my friends Smith and Wesson.
You're talking about Smith?
Yeah, Smith and Wesson right there. No, but so we obey the things that people, and for some reason, there's this narrative within our culture that God is somehow fickle for being that way. We think that if God wants us to respect his rules and his boundaries, he is somehow human, when in all actuality, the reason we want people to respect our rules and our boundaries is because we're made in the image of God. Yes. And the reason why we allow people to have relationship with us whenever they follow the things that we have asked them to follow in our life is because we are like God, right? Genesis 1:26 says that God formed us in his image. And so that's a part of the image of God that's on the inside of us. So we shouldn't be surprised whenever it says, by this we know that we know God if we keep his commandments. And then if we know God and we keep his commandments, we're being perfected in love.
Yes.
And so if we want to cast fear out of our lives, we not only need to know the word of God, we need to act in the word of God. We need to obey his commandments. Why? Because if we're loving our neighbor as ourselves, there's absolutely no reason. Or I'll put it this way to you. If you love your neighbor as yourself, that means that you're loving the image of God that's in the person that's around you.
Which, let me say this. The image of God, okay, we're all created in the image of God. That means that no human being is superior than another human being.
Right.
We may have different colors of skin, but we are created, all of us, we have red blood, and we are all created in the image of God, which makes us totally equal on the same ground.
Right.
Every single one of us.
Right.
And so when I say that I love less someone because of the color of their skin, especially if they're a brother in Christ or anybody, what I'm doing is I'm diminishing the image of God inside of you.
Right. And that's when we have reason to fear. Why?
Yes.
Because we're speaking down to God's image in someone else.
Yes.
So my son looks like me, talks like me, acts like me, which is terrifying. But if you speak down to my son, then you have a reason to fear the Father.
Come on.
If you speak down to the one that was created in my image and in my likeness, you've got a reason to fear. But if not, you can be perfected in love. You have nothing to fear on my end of things. Same thing with God. And I'm just taking this one commandment, right? Because that's the main commandment that God's given. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if I don't love my neighbor, if I don't love the person that was created in the image of God, then I can't be made perfect. I can't be made perfect in love because I'm going to have a reason to fear God. But not the right kind of fear. The kind of fear that's not okay. The kind of fear that says, I will be judged because I didn't treat someone as if they were created in the image of God. And so the goal here to be made perfect in love and to have fear cast out of our lives is not just to read the Word of God, but to actually live in the Word of God. Because I know plenty of people that can quote Scripture that don't live Scripture. And so it's so important that we get that part, that we walk in the Word of God, that we obey His commandments so that we have nothing to fear. We have no reason to be afraid. Why? Because we are following the guidelines and the boundaries that God has set out for us to live and to walk in. And you know, it's so important for us to mature and love. Why? And why do we really need that? Number one, so that we have nothing to be afraid of, but also look what it says in Matthew 24, verse 10 and 14. It says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So, he who endures to the end, obeying the commandments of God to love one another as ourself, shall be saved. What does that mean? We have no reason to fear judgment. The people who are being saved that it's talking about in this scripture, you have no reason to fear judgment if you are obeying the commands of God to love one another. If you have fear of God, If you're wondering, oh, is God going to punish me? Is God going to torment me? I would suggest checking the way that you're loving people around you. Because as God reveals, hey, you actually treat this person less, or you do this, or you do that, you can begin to change, and then there's nothing to be afraid of. But in order to know the commands of God, and in order to be full of faith and to stand firm, we have to be fixed and firm in our faith.
Amen. And one other point here is that when Jesus said, because lawlessness will abound, how many of you are seeing lawlessness abound? We're seeing it everywhere. Amen. So he said this, because lawlessness will abound. And he's talking about the days before his return.
Yeah.
So he said, lawlessness will abound. What is it going to do? He said, it's going to have an effect upon the church.
The love of many will grow cold.
The lawlessness that will abound is going to have an effect on the way the church loves and loves one another. If we allow the false prophets, the voice, and by the way, false prophets don't just show up in church. They can be on TV. They can be in music. They can come in all shapes, forms, and voices. False prophets. Basically, false prophets are going to tell you something that is what? False. Which is contrary to the word of God and make you think that it's truth when it's not truth. And so many people today, the reason that our love is growing cold, because he said the love of many will grow cold, the reason that our love is growing cold is because we're listening to false prophets. And we're not seeking the truth the way we should be seeking the truth. The one thing that cannot fail in your life is love. Because love, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm not going to let somebody do this to me and do that to me and all kinds. The Bible says love never fails. Notice in verse 10, watch the progression. When offense comes, then there's betrayal. And once betrayal, then there's hate. When a person is offended and feel like they've been betrayed, they will begin to hate. And a lot of times, hate is bottled up on the inside of us until finally some event happens that I become a volcano and I explode.
Yeah.
And all of that spews out of my mouth. Which means this. You and I have to be very careful who we run with. Who we listen to. And what we see. A lot of things that we're seeing today that are happening, that we're seeing on television, God is saying to us, if you hear the Spirit of God, He's not... Yeah, you can get angry and you can be frustrated and you can be disgusted. Okay?
Yeah.
That's a part of our human makeup.
It's righteous.
Because the Bible says, be angry and sin not. The key is your flesh, and God knows this, our flesh will be stirred up. But he said, don't let it take you to sin.
Yeah.
Don't let it get you out of my will. Let me say this, because this is something that the Lord really ministered to me one day. I was just watching some things happen. My heart just dropped, and I felt my flesh being stirred up. And the Lord said to me, right here, what are you going to do about that? And I said, well, Lord, he said, are you going to get around your friends and talk about it? Or are you going to go pray about it? He said, if my people, when they see things happening, you as the church have the keys of the kingdom. No political organization has the keys of the kingdom. No group of people, organization, has the keys of the kingdom. There's only one entity on the earth today that has the keys of the kingdom. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on.
And we can sit around and complain and gripe and murmur all day long. Or we can get on our face before God. We can intercede and we can pray and realize that God said, if you do that,
come on,
I can heal the land.
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
I have confidence. I have trust in the Lord. So Moses tells the children of Israel, he said this, he said, stand still and see. So the word stand still actually means this: stand fixed and firm in faith.
Yeah.
And so he was saying that because he was telling the children of Israel, because their focus was on what it should not have been on. Even though what they were seeing was true, the truth was, listen to me very carefully, it was true what they were seeing, but the truth has already been spoken to them by God.
Come on.
So when you have the truth that has been spoken by God, you can see what in the natural is true, but you have got to refocus back on the truth.
Shh, come on.
Of what God has said. Because we have a tendency that when we see what is in the natural, we have a tendency to misfocus.
Yeah.
Which means that we focus improperly. And that's what the children of Israel were doing. So when we're experiencing adversity and demonic attacks and bad reports and tough times, here's my question: what is your center of attraction?
So good.
What is your center of attention? What are you paying attention to? What is your center of your concentration? What is your center of concentration during your trial and your adversity and the testing? In other words, what are you going to concentrate on? Are you going to concentrate on what you're seeing as far as the problem is concerned? Or are you going to concentrate on God and what He has said?
Come on. Come on.
And you can tell what you're concentrating on because you hear it coming out of your mouth. That's what is literally our barometer to test where our heart is and where our thoughts are. You must understand that when you get into difficult times and adversity, the devil's main thrust is to distract you. Where's the donuts? No, demand. Where?
I already ate them.
He. How many of y'all remember those donuts he brought up here? That's just, how many of you agree with me? That's just wrong. Yes.
So, they were good.
I know. So the devil is going to distract you, and he's going to distract you through your five senses.
Yep.
By what you see, by what you hear, by what you can feel, by your emotions. And then along with that, he's also going to distract you and bring up what? He's going to bring up your past.
Yep.
Remember, he has a file. He always keeps a file on your failures. There's many times that we fail in life. If anybody has never failed here in this church, please come up right now and I'm going to let you teach. So every single one of us have failed. But listen to me very carefully. Just because we fail at something does not mean that my identity now is a failure.
Right. Right.
You have to be very careful at the mistakes that you make, the things that happen, that now you don't allow that to become your identity for the future. Mm. So our thoughts of thoughts, he'll attack us with thoughts of times that we've had bad behavior, attitudes, thoughts of despair and defeat concerning our present circumstances, which in turn, with all of that, in turn, it gives me, now watch this, it develops within me an image of a very bleak future. How many of you know that in the old days when they developed negatives, where were the negatives developed?
In the dark room.
In the dark room. See, he'll do everything he can to get you into darkness in your thinking so he can develop negatives on the inside of you. So what he wants to do, and here's what he's after. He's after to eradicate all of your hope. He wants you to become hopeless, because if he knows that he can get you into a hopeless situation, he knows that he can weaken you And if he can weaken you, then he can what? He can defeat you. Why does the devil attack our hope? Listen to Hebrews 11, chapter verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we have no hope, then faith has nothing to give substance to. Nothing. If we have no hope, faith is unemployed. Because faith gives substance to things hoped for. Let's look at someone who had, in the natural, had impossibilities. There's no way in what God promised in the natural that this man could possibly see and this woman could possibly see that what God had said was going to take place and happen. And that's where the devil wants to get us. He wants to get us into a place where we are hopeless. He wants to destroy our hope. Listen, if you become hopeless, you become prayless.
Yeah.
The moment you become hopeless, you stop praying. And if you do pray, you're not praying with boldness. You're not praying with confidence. You are begging and pleading, and you are wishing and hoping. And sometimes you'll just throw up your hand and just say, well, whatever the will of God is. When we have the will of God right here.
Yeah.
So let's look at Abraham real quickly in Romans the 4th chapter, verse 17 through 21. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Notice that scripture. I have made you. Guess what? God has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God has made you holy. God has made you righteous. God has made you a child of the living God. He has made you. Listen, everything that we have, God has made ahead of time. Everything we need, God has made ahead of time. You know why that's important? Because that means I can't take any of the glory. I have to give all the glory and honor to him. I have made you a father of many nations. I love this. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. I love this because I have made and the presence go hand in hand. Whom he believed, God made, and it's Abraham's responsibility to believe. In the presence of him who believed, God, now here's God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God does not call those things which exist as though they didn't. God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. In other words, what he's calling is he's calling into existence that which I'm not seeing right now in the natural. So things that you're going through right now in the natural that you don't see, that's according to the promise of God, when you start calling that into existence, when you start calling that which does not exist as though it did, you're speaking and imitating God. And does the Bible tell us to do that? Ephesians the 5th chapter verse 1 says, be imitators of God. Think about what you're calling into your own life out of your own mouth right now. Some of you might think it's like all hell's broken loose. Everything I do just falls apart. Nothing good is going to happen out of this. How can anything come out of this? And we're speaking fear, 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 and we're wondering why the devil is coming in and tearing everything up. It's because you're calling for it. You're calling for it. That's what you're calling for. But God calls those things which do not exist. And you're not lying. You're speaking truth. Because truth can triumph over that which is true in the natural. So you must speak it. And you must call it. Daniel, come here just a minute, please. Daniel, run up here. You're in shape. You're a football player. Come right here, please. Come right here. This is my man. This is my man. Okay, now, Before I called him, Daniel did not exist up here. But the moment I called Daniel, what did not exist now exists. Because Daniel came into agreement. He could have sat there and said, I ain't going up there for nobody. But Daniel came into agreement with what I was calling, and he came up here, and now Daniel is here. Because it's called. If I had never called Daniel, Daniel would not be standing here right now. Thank you, Daniel. Good job. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Okay? Some of you are saying like this. You're saying, well, you know, Pastor, I just believe you got to call it the way it is. That would be like when in Genesis, the first chapter, in the beginning, God. And God came out and he saw that the earth was without form. And it was void and darkness was across the face of the deep. And he comes out and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was just hovering there. And God comes out going, woo, look at all that darkness. Oh my gracious. Look at the dark. Oh, I think we might have bit off a little bit more than we can chew here. I don't know about
that.
Look how far the darkness. Look at the expanse of the darkness. Oh, God. Man alive. Oh, wow.
Sure is dark.
Sure is dark out there. You got to call it the way it is. You just got to call it the way it is. No, I think I'll just change things up. Light, come here. Light be. And guess what light did? Light came. But now watch this, because this is so vitally important. Who administered the power for the light to manifest? Watch this. God spoke it out of his mouth. Who was hovering over the face of the deep in the darkness, waiting for God to speak? Do you know the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you is waiting for some of you to speak and come into agreement with what God has said and what God wants to happen and what God wants to come into existence?
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
To that too. It's not that. This is not New Age. This is not us creating our own reality. This is us coming into agreement with what God's already said.
Come on.
So God, calling back to that example, Daniel wasn't here, he was there. He did exist. So there are things in God that do exist in your life right now. They might not be here, but they do exist. And so that's why whenever we speak in accordance with the word of God. It's not that, now, hang on with me just for a second. It's not that you just pick up your wallet and say, money be.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that. It's not that you go into your garage and say, BMW, be. It's that if you have a need, the Bible says God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And so what you do is you speak out the provision.
Yes.
The provision. I was thinking in Spanish there for a second. That's why I was
What is it in Spanish?
Suplicación, or not suplicación. What would it be? I don't know what it would be. I was trying to find it. I don't know. I've been speaking in Spanish and English all morning. So anyways, it's not important. But see, Miguel, this is your fault. Where are you? You've been speaking to me in Spanish all day today. Anyways, so you speak the things that are right here. So, like this morning, we were singing Isaiah 60. He gives beauty for ashes, joy for mourning. You understand? So it's not that we're sitting there singing, oh, well, he gives beauty for ashes. We're just guessing or we're just creating our own reality. We're singing the word of God. It says that he makes ways where there seems to be no ways. He makes a road in the desert. That's the truth of God's word. So whenever we speak, it's not that I'm manipulating some reality. It's that I'm calling on the word of God, which is more powerful than anything else that I am going through, more powerful than anything else that I can see. If the power that is in these words has passed away, we have absolutely no hope. And why would it be that some of these words have passed away and not all of them have passed away? If the healing power of God has passed away, then why hasn't the salvation power of God passed away? Or if the provision of God has passed away, what? It doesn't make any sense. The Bible says that not one jot or tittle, not one punctuation mark, not one letter, not one exclamation mark, yes, not one question mark, not one single thing in this word can pass away. Heaven and earth can pass away, but not a single word.
Amen.
So whenever you speak, you're not just speaking some random reality that you hope God can accomplish. You come into agreement with the word that he's already spoken. If our lives don't look like this, we're doing something wrong.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. No. So following up what you just said, God, who gives life to the dead.
That's right, Benji.
Life to the dead. So the Bible says in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1, he gave life to you when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When Abraham was named, God named Abraham. He gave him a brand new identity. He was Abram, which actually meant exalted one. He was Abram, but then God changes his name. Actually, God gave him part of his own name.
Come on. That's so good.
He called him Abraham, which means the father of many nations. So in other words, here's what he has. He said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a name, and that name is going to line up with the destiny that I have for you. And so let me ask you this question. So when God named Abram Abraham, and every single day, when Abraham, listen, now you know God changed Abraham's name. So Abraham has got to tell everybody his change of name. Sarah, don't call me Abram anymore. Well, why? Because God's changed my name. Well, I didn't hear God tell you that. No, God spoke to me. And now I'm letting you know, this is what he said. What did he say? He said that I'm going to be Abraham, the father of many nations. He didn't have one child. Not one single child. Now let me ask you something. Every time that everybody called him Abraham, or he called himself Abraham, was he lying?
Come on.
Was he lying? Or could he say this to God? All right, no, we can't do that because we got to say it the way it is. I don't even have a child, so we just need to speak with Abram. No, God said, I'm changing your destiny by what I'm calling you and what I'm going to say over you and what I'm speaking to you. And he said, every time you keep saying it, and he said it year after 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 year. And finally, he got to the place he was like, I don't know if this is going to happen, so I got to help God out. He did. And ended up with Ishmael. And he's still around today. So, there's a thing called faith and patience. That once you start calling for something, once you start speaking it, once you start declaring it, because what you're speaking and you're declaring is truth, and you're coming to alignment with what God has said. When I found in Deuteronomy where he says, I'm blessing the city and I'm blessing the field. I'm blessing, I'm coming in and I'm blessing my going out. I am the head and I am not the tail. Glory to God. When I got a revelation of that and started speaking that over my life, I was driving a truck for $3.35 an hour. With no air conditioning in it. And I'd get in that truck and crank it up, and I would start going on my route. I am blessing the city. I'm blessing the field. I'm blessed on this route. I am blessed by the Spirit of God. I am blessed. I am the head, and I am not the tail. I'm not beneath. I am above only. Praise God. Everything I put my hand to will prosper.
And not just with outward things. So, because I know that I was just talking to somebody this morning. I was like, I don't know what you see in me. And I texted him back and I said, you're a son. So some of you are like, well, I've been dealing with the same things for such a long time. I don't know when I'm going to conquer this sin. I don't know when I'm going to conquer this thing that I'm going. I don't know when I'm going to finally stop yelling at my kids. I don't know when I'm going to finally start being patient. I don't know when I'm finally going to start being kind to other people. I don't know. Listen. You are a son and a daughter of God. And so, this is my wheelhouse right here. God calls you righteous, and you are being worked into that righteousness. God calls you holy, you are being worked into that holiness. Now, this is not an excuse to sin. But it's a realization that when you fall, your name didn't change. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just be a little graphic for a second. When Abraham laid with Sarah and she wasn't pregnant, it didn't change his name back to Abram. When Isaac didn't act like Israel, it didn't change his name back to Isaac or Jacob. Sorry, did I get that wrong? Mm-hmm. Jacob. When you're not walking in your God-given identity, your name doesn't change. But what you need to do is partner with the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit in go. That moment.
Yep.
Partner with the things that God has said about you and begin to be worked into the righteousness, the holiness, the sonship, yep. the identity yes. God, the identity that God yes. has given you. So what do I do? Practically, let me show y'all something a little practical that I do every single day. I don't manifest all of these realities right here that I'm about to read to you, but these are things that I speak over my life. And this is scripture because this is who God's called me to be. I am patient and I am kind. I do not envy. I do not parade myself. I am not puffed up. I do not behave rudely. I do not seek my own. I am not provoked. I think no evil. I do not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. I bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. I do everything in love. I love others as Christ has loved me. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything, equal to anything, and through him who infuses inner strength into me, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I have the mind of Christ. I am made in the image of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and after his very likeness, and I have complete authority in the earth. I am his beloved son in whom he is well pleased. I will keep his commandments and abide in his love. I am anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication I make my request known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding guards my heart and mind through Jesus Christ. With blessings he will bless me, and multiplying he will multiply me. With long life he will satisfy me. By his stripes I remain in healing.
What you speak it, you're speaking truth.
Yes.
It is true that you may have lost your temper.
Yeah.
Okay? But the truth never changes about who God says about me. Yes. And the key here, because you just quote, you start out quoting 1 Corinthians 13. That's the thing that God changed my whole life with. When I was struggling with the way I was talking to my wife, the things that my attitude and some other things that were in my life, the Lord started saying to me, quit seeing yourself the way your flesh acts.
Say it again.
Quit seeing yourself in the way your flesh is acting.
Come on.
See yourself in who I made you and created you to be. And start calling those things which be not, that do not exist, as though they were. I begin to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, God, I'm coming into alignment with you. And I started speaking 1 Corinthians 13 over my life. And year after year, my wife is sitting right there, and she can tell you this. Year after year, month after month, she began to see a major change and difference in my life.
Yep.
And here's the key. The key is just coming into agreement with what God's word says. What does it say in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 20? It says this, my son, give attention, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my words. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. So whatever, listen, when I've been attacked with sickness or infirmity, and if I walk around and say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus took my infirmities, Matthew 8, 17. Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses in his own body. 1 Peter 2, 24, by his stripes I am healed. Let me ask you something. If I've got sickness in my body, am I lying?
No.
If I say that, am I lying?
No.
What am I saying? I am saying what God says and what God has done and what God has declared about me. I am the healed. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all my iniquities. Who heals all my diseases. Who delivers my life from destruction. Who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies my mouth with good things. So that my youth is renewed like the eagles.
Yeah, come on. And you know what? You know what confession is not? Confession is not trying to convince God to give you a miracle. It's convincing yourself of what God says to be true.
True. Say that again.
That's... Confession is not convincing God to do something for you. It's convincing yourself of what God has already said to be true. That's what confession is. That's why we have to continue to confess the word of God, or else what will happen? Anything that tries to explain away the power of God, I just call it doctrine of disappointment.
Hmm.
Because what happens is men and women who were fighting the fight of faith, but got discouraged, tried to explain away why their life didn't look like this right here. And so what happens is we go through something difficult. We're confessing the word. We're standing on the word of God. And it takes time, right?
Yes.
First Peter says that God is not slow as some understand slow, but he keeps his promises. But why did he have to say that? Because God spoke a promise and it was taking a while for the promise to come into fruition, to be manifested into the present reality. So sometimes it takes time, but we fight the fight of faith. And there are some things that I don't understand why certain things do or do not happen. But if something does or does not happen, it just doesn't change his word.
No.
It just doesn't change his word. And so now I have to measure my life next to this right here. And I have to decide, am I wrong or is this wrong? And that's not, some people think that somehow that's not compassionate or something, but it is. It's like if you keep on wrecking into something in your car and I tell you it's because you're a bad driver or because you need glasses, that doesn't mean I dislike you or that doesn't mean that I'm not compassionate towards you. If God, like some people like to make it out like, well, you know, God is so kind, but he still said to his disciples at times, because of your little faith. That doesn't make God mean.
He was not doing condemnation. He was giving instruction.
He was giving them instruction. And so it's that same thing as like if I go into the gym and I'm doing squats and it's hurting me, and then one of the trainers comes over and tells me, hey, you need to do your foot like this, or you need to sit back a little bit more, you need to engage your core more or something, and I'm like, oh, why would you hurt my feelings that way? He'd look at me and say, I'm trying to save you from back troubles. Yes,
and I'm always there to lift it off of you.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. We definitely squat the same. But that's what, it's God's compassion that says, son, focus on your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Get more into your word. Get more into your prayer time. Get more into worship. Get more. That's the love and the compassion of God. That doesn't mean that God's a bad father.
Right. That's responsibility on our side. And are y'all getting anything out of this? Are you? Amen. We're not anywhere near.
Yeah, we're way off.
So we're actually not way off.
We're not way off.
We're just taking time for explanation, which is good. So, because to me, this is what I love. I love the practicalities of explaining every single word. When he was saying confession, do you know what word confession actually means in the Greek? It means to come into agreement with one. To come into agreement, to give your agreement over to one. So when you're confessing God's word, when you're speaking God's word, you're actually coming into agreement with that. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to get your will, your mind, and your emotions to come into agreement, because that's where the fight is. You're getting them to come into agreement with what God says. And sometimes it gets frustrating. Sometimes you're going to wonder, is this ever going to take place and happen? You remember how long it took Abraham to become the father of many nations. So we don't have time right now to go through all of this, but we will.
Yeah.
But if you read Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 17 through 21, and you camp there all week, it'll change your life.
Let's do that.
It will literally change your life.
Yeah.
It's Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 17 through 21. If you will just camp there and say, Holy Spirit, teach me. And if you'll take every single word that is there and just take your time and look at it, you will see what caused Abraham to walk into and to become the promise, and the promise became him. And you'll see exactly how he did it, because he went through the same frustrations, he went through the same weakness, he went through the same questioning whether God was going to do this or not. Sarah went through the same thing. Actually, when God himself showed up and said, and Sarah was behind the tent, and God was carrying on a conversation with Abraham. This is in the Bible. And he said, this time next year, Sarah's going to be pregnant. And Sarah started laughing. Now the problem is, here's God sitting there, and God hears everything you say. God heard her laughing and said, why did Sarah start laughing? He said, mark my word, it will happen. And it happened. Right? Listen, don't give up. Don't give in. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to the promise. Hold on to your confession. I mean, for 3 years, I drove the truck for $3.35 an hour. I did get one raise to $3.50 an hour. Glory to God. Man, I thought I had arrived. But I kept speaking. I kept believing. I kept giving. I did not stop. And then all of a sudden, out of one particular incident, I met somebody, and the rest is history. I'm just telling you, folks, if you come into agreement with God's word, even though you don't see it right now, even though it hasn't happened right now, even though you say, well, I've been standing and I've been, keep on standing, keep on believing.
Yes.
Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't get mad with God. Don't get frustrated. Every single one of us, including both of us sitting here right now, go through the questioning. We go through what we consider is disappointment. Why hasn't this happened? Why hasn't that happened? We go through that, and then we get a hold of ourselves.
Yes. Don't stay there.
Don't stay there. What did David say? David said, what did he say? Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God.
Yes.
And believe me, he was going through some tough times. So keep your faith in God. Don't stop. Don't let the lawlessness and the sin that you see in this world, like Jesus said, I'm not saying this, Jesus said this, don't let it cause your love to grow cold.
Come on.
When you see things, intercede and pray. You know, I've had people say, I've had these dreams, and I don't know what they mean. And I look at them and say, because some of them have prophetic meaning, and I said, God's showing it to you because he wants you to pray.
Yes, that's right.
He's giving it to you because he wants you to pray and to intercede. And they will say this to me, well, I'm just one person. I said, do you not know that the Bible says God looked for one man, one woman to stand in the gap, just one. God doesn't need a million, just one. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you're that one.
You're that one.
Turn to them again and say, I'm that one.
I'm that one.
Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment?
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to give you an opportunity that if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, the Lord of your life, I want to give you that opportunity. It's an invitation from God. Because without Jesus Christ being the Lord of your life, you are subject to everything the devil will bring into your life. I was a walking example that I didn't understand it until I realized the Bible says the thief, speaking of the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I had a lot of that in my life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everything that has to do with life has to do with God. Everything that has to do with stealing, killing, and destroy, that has to do with the devil. It has to do with the kingdom of darkness.
That's right.
And the devil doesn't want you coming out of his kingdom. He wants to still be able to ransack your life. He wants to still be able to bring you into hopeless situations. He wants to steal from you and take from you. And God is the giver of life. He wants to give you life. You may say today, you know, Pastor, I knew the Lord at one time. I got away from him. Well, simply, let me tell you what Jesus is saying right now to you. Come back home. Why stay out there in the enemy's camp and let him continue to steal, kill, and destroy? Come back home.
Yes.
Come into the family. Come back to the family. He say, I don't know, I've done so many things. Where in the Bible does it say how many things you've done that God will not forgive you? There's no place. The Bible says if I repent of my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me.
Yes.
That's God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if you've never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, you may have known about Jesus, but do you know him? Have you received Jesus as the Lord of your life? If you have, if you do, then he will save you, and every one of us need a Savior. You can't get to heaven apart from him. It's totally impossible. You can't get to heaven through religion. You can't get to heaven on your mom and your dad's salvation. You can't get to heaven because you consider yourself to be a good person or I've done good things. And by the way, don't sit there and say this, well, I just need to get better. That's the whole point. You can't get better without him.
That's right.
Because he comes to live on the inside of you. That's what he'll do.
Jesus.
So this morning, right here and in the overflow and in live streaming, wherever you are, I want to give you that opportunity. And if you've backslid and gotten away from God, come back home this morning. But if you want to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life this morning, I'm going to pray. And if you want to be in that prayer, all I want you to do right where you are, just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to be in that prayer. Thank you. God bless you. Yes, I want to be in that prayer. I want to be in that prayer. I want to receive. Thank you. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Yes. I want to be in that prayer. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Those that you're at home, wherever you may be watching us, raise your hand. He sees your hand in the overflow. Raise your hand. There's a minister right there also. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Yes. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me.
Come on, Jesus.
Anyone else? All right, we're going to pray just like I said. We're going to pray. And all of you that raise your hands, I want you to pray this out loud with all of us because we're all going to pray with you. Those in the overflow, pray this with us right now. Say, Father God, I thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
Your grace.
Your grace.
And your mercy.
And your mercy.
And today, by faith,
by believing that Jesus
is the Son of God, I repent of all my sin, and I ask your forgiveness,
in the name of Jesus,
and this day,
before heaven and earth,
unashamedly.
I confess,
Jesus Christ,
as Lord.
Of my life. Thank you, Father.
For saving me.
Thank you, Father.
For bringing me into your family.
And now I declare, I am saved.
I am forgiven.
I am righteous in your righteousness.
And I thank you.
For my new life.
In
Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen.